Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the October session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Larry Welch. I'm from Plattsmouth, Nebraska. I will be presiding today. I'm pleased to be joined here today on my right by Chief Judge Mike Pirtle of Omaha. And appearing remotely on your screen there is Judge Frankie Moore of North Platte. Good morning. We have two matters on the call this morning. I will call those independently. When I call, I would ask counsel that is appearing or not appearing remotely to approach. When you are up in front of the podium, we would ask that you please remove your mask when you're speaking so we can better hear you today. When you're finished today and we take the matter under submission, we'd ask that you would exit out the side door as opposed to the back door from which you came in. Just a general reminder as it relates to the material that you present today, just remember that these matters are live streamed, they're recorded, they're archived. So just be sensitive to that as it relates to any potential confidential information that you have in connection with your remarks. The first matter on the call today is case number A21-0213. State versus Albarenga. Counsel, please approach.
Appellant goes first, is that right?
Appellant, please.
Thank you. May I approach?
Please do. Give me 1 second.
You can. Thank you.
So used to wearing these things all the time now.
I understand. Please proceed, counsel.
I'm Nathan Sarayakoff with the Lancaster County Public Defender's Office, and I represent Sadie Albarenga. May it please the courts. The ultimate question in this case is whether Nebraska statutes governing the behavior of motorists at red arrow indications conflicts with Lincoln City Ordinance on the same subject. A rational, common sense approach to reading the Nebraska statutes makes it clear that there is a conflict. The rule under Nebraska law is simple. Stop and turn if it's safe, unless there's an exception. Stop and turn if it's safe, unless a traffic control device prohibits a turn. That's the simple rule that we know from the Nebraska statutes. The rule in Lincoln is stop, no exceptions. There's a conflict. There's no exception in the Lincoln rule. There is an exception in the state rule. The rule for Nebraska revised statutes 60-6123A and C is at a red light, we can turn after stopping so long as it's safe to do so. 60-123 sub A says, and I quote, vehicular traffic facing a steady red indication alone shall stop and remain standing until an indication to proceed is shown, here's the exception, except as provided in subdivisions 3B and 3C of this section.
Let's agree that there's a conflict between the state statute and the municipal code. Let's agree on that.
Okay.
There's a conflict. I can think of at least two cases in the past where we've had an officer or a state trooper pull somebody over on a mistaken belief that there had been a violation of the law, and then to come to find out either there wasn't a violation or it was the wrong person. And I know on both occasions, our court and the Supreme Court has indicated, even if it's a mistake by the officer, if it's in good faith, it still allows them to observe what's happening inside the car and if there's criminal activity to probable cause to pursue it. So even if the officer, Lincoln police officer here, was operating under the assumption there was a violation of the municipal code, which there appears to be it was, even if it conflicted with the state, he still had a right to pull her over for that reason, did he not?
I think there's some case law that the state will argue with that would support that proposition. I don't disagree that that case law exists. I think in this situation, the officer can be imputed with the knowledge that the state statute is what it is.
What if he knew the municipal code but wasn't aware that the state statute was different?
Well, he's required under the law to know what the statutes are. And so we can't presume that he didn't know. In fact, I think we have to presume that he did know that state statute was what it was. And even if we step back for a second, I think it misplaces the accountability or the prophylactic nature of a suppression hearing if we say that the officer has to be the one that has full knowledge. The city wrote the code. The city knew it had attorneys staffed in its office. It knew that the code conflicted with the state code. It's obvious. It's an obvious conflict. If we're agreeing to that, I mean, we can see it. It's an obvious conflict.
Is there something in the record to support that?
We know that, well, no, there's nothing in the record that would directly support that. I think we can know that the city attorney's office and the city board or the city board of commissioners was properly advised by the city attorney's office. At the very least, it would just require a simple reading of the two statutes. I caught it, and I'm just a public defender here in Lincoln. So what I'm saying is that I think the city is we have to set up the prophylactic measures to protect the individual from the state, not necessarily the sheriff or the police officers enforcing the provisions. Even if you decided that, look, for suppression purposes, we have to say the officer didn't know and we can't hold him to account because it was just a mistake of law. There is case law that supports that position, Judge. But even if you were to say that, we still have the citation, the conviction for the red light turn at the very end of all of this. So it's not like this isn't a simple motion to suppress. The only basis for the stop was the red light. There was no ticket for the red light turn. There was a ticket for turning left at a red light. That ticket cannot be upheld by this court under any circumstances. Sure, there's case law, which I disagree with, and I think this court is talking about that, that says that a motion to suppress might not necessarily, should not necessarily be suppressed. The evidence should not necessarily be suppressed if the officer was confused as to law and it was a good faith confusion. I know that law. I think SCOTUS has dealt with that recently. This court has dealt with that recently. I understand that. But we also have the brute fact that she was also ticketed and held convicted for a conviction that she could not be convicted for in Nebraska state law. She followed all the rules. It would be a miscarriage of justice to say, well, we have to ticket her for the red light and have her pay that $25 fine. I know it seems insignificant, but it matters going forward as well. If there's no way.
So if I could please ask a question. Good morning. And I apologize for interrupting.
Nope. Hold on a second, Judge Moore. I think we've got a buffering going on here. We lost her for a second. Would you hold the time for a second?
Let's hold the time.
That's a new one for us. Looks like she's back.
There she is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm having connection problems this morning. We had a storm that took out our power last night. Did you hear my question?
I did not.
So do you know if the manual on uniform traffic control devices speaks to the issue of the conflict between the statute and the ordinance and whether the manual gives any guidance in that regard?
I have 2 points on that, Judge Moore. One, the manual is not state statute, so it doesn't matter what's in the manual. The manual is written by individuals who are not legislatures. They are not the unicameral. The manual has no force of law. The second point is that the manual is not either judicially noticed by any of the lower courts, nor is it in evidence by any of the lower courts. No one offered the manual into evidence. Because of that, I would argue that the county court's findings about when he references the manual in the county court, that those findings are just irrelevant. They don't matter. Doesn't matter what the manual says. It's not law. It's a training aid for motorists, and it can be wrong if it doesn't properly state the law.
What if the manual is based on a regulation that says the same thing as the manual? If the regulation says the same thing as the manual, does that have the force and effect of law?
Of course not. The state legislature creates the law, not whatever regulating body. The manual, as far as I understand, and we're veering off topic a little bit, I think, but the manual, as far as I understand, is crafted so as to take into account certain standards that the federal government has applied, which Nebraska may or may not have applied. And the manual is not written by legislatures who craft the law. This court can't be applying manuals or the beliefs and opinions of bureaucrats. This court's job is to apply the law as it is written in the statutes.
So let me interrupt you for 1 second. So if within the statute empowers the Department of Treasury, Department of Transportation to make regulations as it relates to this, if those regulations are properly promulgated and if they're on point, does that have the force and effect of law in this area?
I don't think it does. And I would say in this situation, it wouldn't be properly promulgated because it's not consistent with the law. The regulation can never be different than the law. And I think my brief and what I was going to argue primarily make it very clear that the law is that you can stop at a left at an arrow. You can stop at an arrow, and if it's safe to proceed, if there's no other signage, you can turn left. That's not necessarily what the traffic manual says, but we don't know what it says because it hasn't been noticed, it hasn't been offered, hasn't been received, and so we can't be looking at the manual. There's no evidence to include the manual.
How do you respond to the state's argument about home rule charter?
Well, I think it's smoke and mirrors. The big piece in the state's brief, and I think this should close the case down entirely, is Nebraska Revised Statute 60-6108 sub 3. It says the Nebraska rules of the road shall be applicable and uniform throughout the state in all political subdivisions and municipalities of this state, and no local authority shall enact or enforce any ordinance directly contrary to the Nebraska rules of the road unless expressly authorized by the legislature. There's nowhere in the rules of the road or anywhere else that I'm aware of that the state's pointing out where the legislature specifically authorized, expressly authorized, City of Lincoln to pass arrow ordinances that conflict with state ordinances or state laws. So the home rule charter doesn't apply in this situation. We would ask that we think that the statutes are in conflict with the city ordinance. We would ask that the court declare state statute to be primary and that the city's ordinance invalid. We'd ask the court grant the relief we've requested in our brief, overturn the district and county court's findings, and order the lower courts to enter an order granting the defendant's motion to suppress, and I think motion to quash. We would submit.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Counsel for the appellate.
Yeah. Sure, this is yours. Sir, go ahead.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Christine Loski. I appear on behalf of the state, which is the appellee in this matter. If you allow me to digress a tiny bit, I apologize.
That's okay.
As Mr. Zhuryakov says, I'm so used to this. To digress a tiny bit, but there's purpose for this, is I have two guests here to watch me argue before the Nebraska Court of Appeals. They're my parents. I've been an attorney for 30 years, and they just moved here from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. And if you're familiar with Scotts Bluff, it's in the Panhandle, about a town of 15,000 people. And in that area, it's considered a kind of a big town. But here, it's considered a tiny little town. And they moved here. They're 80 years old, and they would like to be closer to their daughter and their grandchildren. And it was a good opportunity. And they live in a townhome close to downtown. So my friends and people from my church ask how they have assimilated to Lincoln. And my parents will say that they love it here. It's exciting. But my dad, who's a very good driver and drives around town, will say the traffic is very scary. And in fact, when we're driving together and we drove here together, I drive and I point out things. I point out the bike paths that are confusing to people. I point out whatever all the one-way streets, and I point out the arrows because that's unique, at least from their vantage point, to our city. There are a lot of things going on in this city. What are we now? Roughly 290,000 people, I think, is now. And if it's a game day, it's another 90,000. And there's a reason why the state has given cities of this size, the city of Lincoln is the city of a primary class. I believe Omaha is considered a city of a municipal class, certain rights to govern their own affairs, to protect its citizenry and to protect its traveling public. We have way more traffic. We have way more pedestrians and a lot more bicyclists that we need to protect, and therefore need to be able to enact laws that help our citizenry that the rest of greater Nebraska just simply doesn't need. When the state of Nebraska enacts its laws and the law regarding their red indicators, there wasn't at that time arrows that I know of, but the city was able to enact a specific law regarding a very specific traffic control device. And contrary to what Mr. Sarayakov asserts, a red indicator is not the same thing as a red arrow or a yellow arrow or a green arrow. Arrow is a very specific traffic control device governing when one can move and one cannot. So even though I do agree with appellant that the city cannot enact laws that are in direct conflict with state statute, but that means when the state has specifically come in to an arena and said something's legal, the city can't come in and say it's illegal. If the state has specifically come in and said something is legal, the city can't say it's illegal. Here, the state is silent. The state is silent with regard to arrows, so the city is granted the privilege to enact laws that help its motoring public and to keep them safe. So this law is a valid use of our use of our home rule charter to be able to protect our citizenry. Having said that, that just really goes to the motion to quash, which I think was properly overruled by the county court, and the district court agreed. But as the court, as your honors had mentioned to appellant's attorney, going towards the motion to suppress, even if your honors would say, you know, there's a flaw to the city ordinance. This is, I don't know, 1.5, 2 years later after this incident, Officer Morrow relied at the time, and there's no dispute of the facts. The motorist, the appellant moved on a red arrow. There's no dispute to that. That Officer Morrow sees this happen, knows this is a violation of city ordinance, has no reason to believe that there's any flaw in this ordinance. At that time, it was perfectly valid and properly ratified. Even today, it's perfectly valid and properly ratified. Even if your honors would say there is a flaw to that ordinance, the officer is reasonable in relying on the state of the law. It would be unfair to force the state and the police officers to think, well, maybe a couple of years down the road, a court might find a problem with this ordinance, so I can't rely on it. That would be unfair. He's reasonable in relying on this violation of law, a traffic violation. And once he sees that happen, he's reasonable in pulling the appellant over. And once he did so, unfortunately for her, there was indications that she'd been drinking, and he continued his investigation until he determined that she was a drunk driver. All that evidence is properly not suppressed. The motion to suppress was properly overruled by the county court. The district court agreed, state agrees, and I hope you agree with that as well.
What's your position with regard to the question raised by Judge Moore on the manual for the uniform?
I don't have the manual before me, so I don't want to, I'm reluctant to quote it directly, but I do believe the manual actually supports the state's position with regard to the difference in the different traffic control devices.
The appellant raises the issue that it was not judicially noticed or put into evidence in the county court. Does that prevent this court from referring to it or making reference to it?
I don't believe so. You'll notice I didn't refer to it in the brief either, and I thought about it, to be honest, but I ultimately erred on the side of that is correct. I didn't put it in the case in chief in trial, and I felt that it wasn't necessary to show the state's position. However, I think it's definitely helpful to this court in determining, because this is really an issue for you to decide, I guess, statutory construction, what was meant by the law as it reads in under state statute, and whether it was meant to include a mandate that at arrows you can move while it's still red. And I think that that manual is definitely helpful to this court in making that determination. I think it's appropriate for you to do so.
There's no dispute that it was not offered or asked to be judicially noticed.
Right. There's no dispute. I did not offer it.
Thank you.
Do you think that this court can take judicial notice of the manual?
Well, the manual itself or the regulations that it relies upon. I think you can take judicial notice of the regulations it relies upon. Yes. If there's no other questions, thank you.
Thank you. Was there any time left for the appellant? Okay. Thank you. We both appreciate it. That was well argued today. We appreciate it. Folks, we appreciate you being here today, too.
Thank you very much.
The matter is under submission.
Thank you.